How you doing, Greg?
Good morning.
I should say. I guess just to start off, for people that might not know, me included, what exactly is net neutrality?
Well, net neutrality was the idea that traffic over the network would be not unmetered. I'm looking for the right word. It would not be managed by the service providers or restrained in any way. So what we're talking about is that under the net neutrality rule, service providers wouldn't be able to give priority to any particular traffic over the network.
Right. Well, yeah, it sounds very important. So why did the American government vote to repeal it?
The government repealed the rule simply because the big telcos and carriers and service providers want their traffic from their websites to be given priority over traffic from small websites or small providers, thereby giving them an advantage. And especially the larger companies like Verizon were lobbying hard on this. And the head of the FCC in the United States, the organization that looks after and manages telecommunications and the internet, used to work for this company. So what we've got is a situation where the leanings towards what big business wanted was where they went. And so the net neutrality rule has been repealed, which is going to have far-reaching effects around the world.
Right. It sounds like there was some big money behind this, maybe. What has been the reaction to the repeal?
Well, the interesting thing was that there was a record number, some 12-odd million submissions made during the public inquiry phase that led up to this decision. And interestingly, they found that about 2 million of those submissions were fake, ones that were in favour of the change. And there were also 500,000 submissions that came out of Russia, also in favour of the change, to get rid of net neutrality. So this was really a dirty politics from the very beginning, and there's going to be obviously ramifications for quite a long time. What's happening is that the states, some of the companies are now looking to go to court to bog this down in court for years, hopefully, of course, until there's a new president. So it's not completely over, but it really is a backward step because the greater majority of Americans, we're talking in the polls of over 75%, were in favour of net neutrality.
Yeah, right. Well, we obviously aren't directly affected by this. So how could we be indirectly affected by this repeal?
Well, it means that traffic coming out of the United States or traffic transiting through the United States could be prioritised.
Yeah, right.
And so what it means is that traffic coming into Australia, we could see that we have significant slowdowns in trying to get traffic that's not from the big companies or that hasn't been given a high priority. And the priority, of course, will mean money. If you want a higher priority for your traffic, you're going to have to pay more or you're going to have to pay to service to the carriers and the big companies to get your traffic across the network quickly. And so what we're going to see is this tiering occur between those that can afford to pay and those that can't afford to pay to have their traffic prioritised.
Yeah, there's definitely got to be a bit of a quality issue there. And it's not like we already don't pay enough money for our internet and completely just had a mind blank there. But I guess a good question to ask in terms of Australia, do we have net neutrality?
Well, in Australia, we don't have it legislated. But under our competition and consumer laws, it would be effectively, the idea of net neutrality already exists here simply because that the competition and consumer laws prevent companies from, giving an unfair advantage when they're acting as a carriage service provider. So we don't have it specifically in law, but our basic competition and consumer laws give us effectively the same type of thing. that's not to say that we don't have prioritised services here. We do. For example, if you're if you're on the internet and your service provider is bundling and products, then those products will be given priority to be delivered over their network to their consumers. And so this really is a situation where if you're, let's pick an example, if you're on a network and that network is providing a particular movie streaming provider, then you would expect that movie streaming provider to be given priority so that the traffic comes to their customers as reasonably as possible. And other movie streaming providers over that network wouldn't be given the same priority of service. That's not to say that they're not going to be available, they're not going to be usable, you know, but they're just not going to be given all the effort and priority that that company is going to provide. And, of course, in Australia, if you want the other service provider or the other media streaming provider, well, then you can always change networks to another company that's offering that as their bundled product. So I think that there's a few things in there that do affect the way that net neutrality works in Australia. But overall, we don't have the same issues that we're going to see in the United States.
Right. Would it be possible that one day, because it has happened or is happening in America, is it possible that one day Australians will have to pay internet providers just to access Facebook or cute cat videos on YouTube?
In a way, we already are paying them because we're paying the access, you know, and the our internet connection fees, and we would hope that competition here would, would reduce those costs over time. But in terms of net neutrality, what we're really talking about is that the people that own the networks will be charging content providers directly to get their content across their network quickly.
Right.
Which means that the cost of accessing those content providers would go up. So that's where we're likely to get hit. So it's in the fees that we pay to access the content providers that we're likely to see changes made. For now, we're not likely to see any immediate effect in Australia, other than that if we're trying to access certain websites or locations in the United States or traffic that transits through the United States, that we're likely to see some changes. How it actually pans out over the next couple of years will be quite interesting to see. Because they're going to go straight to court and try and get an injunction.
Right, yeah. It would be very interesting to watch.
Yes, yes. And the whole key about the network is exactly what powers should the carriage service providers or the telcos, what powers should they have to actually be able to charge at both ends, charge people to connect to the network, but also charge the service providers providing content over the network, what power should they have to be able to charge both ways? And is it reasonable to charge both ways for these companies? Most people would argue, no, it's not. I mean, they're charging their customers to connect to the network and to get capacity and bandwidth. Really, that should be the extent of it. What people provide over the network should be, unrestricted, and it should not be prioritised or limited in any way. That's what people would expect. It's a bit like if you've got a highway, and it's a toll road, you're paid to use the toll road. Well, what happens, of course, is, that all of a sudden you find that you have to pay more, to get onto certain lanes or to get onto the fast lane. It's a situation where there's no end of trouble if you go down that path.
Right. That's exactly right. It's going to be very interesting to watch this pan out because, as you said, we do have two very different systems, alluding to your highway I forgot the word I'm trying to use, but they're traveling on the right side of the road and we're traveling on the left side, so we'll see how this all pans out. Thank you so much, Professor, for joining us this morning.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you.